Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we're continuing reading from the 8th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 5. Today's text is 26. Shri Brahma Vacha Avikriyam Satyam Ananta Madhyam Guhashayam Nishkalam Apratarkam Manogayanam Vacha Chani Ruktam Namamahe Deva Varang Varenyam Shri Bhamo Vacha Avikriyam Satyam Ananta Madhyam Guhashayam Nishkalam Apratarkyam Manogayanam Vachasanuruktam Vamamahe Deva Varang Varenyam Shri Bhamo Vacha Avrikriyam Satyam Ananta Madhyam Guhashayam Nishkalam Apratarkyam Manogayanam Vachasani Ruktam Namamahe Deva Varang Varenyam. Please say it. Vaishnavis, Shri Brahma Vacha, Avikriyam Satyam Ananta Madhyam. Avikriyam Satyam Ananta Madhyam Guhashayam Nishkalam Apatarkyam Manogayanam vachasani roktam. Okay, I didn't bring my regular reading glasses, and I definitely need reading glasses, so these are a little bit underpowered. If I make any mistakes, please correct me. What's the magnification on those? I normally take 1.75. These are like, I don't know, one or something like that. Let's see. No, that's worse. Thanks anyway. Anyway, those who have a book, if I make any mistakes, please correct me. So, synonyms. Sri Brahma Vacha. Lord Brahma said, Avikriyam, unto the personality of Godhead, who never changes, as opposed to material existence. Satyam, the eternal supreme truth. Anantam, unlimited. Adyam, the original cause of all causes. Guhashayam, present in everyone's heart. Nishkalam, without any decrease in potency. Apratarkyam, inconceivable, not within the jurisdiction of material arguments. Manak agrayanam, more quick than the mind, inconceivable to mental speculation. Vachasa, by jugglery of words. Aniruktam, indescribable. Namamahe, all of us demigods offer our respectful obeisances. Devavaram, unto the Supreme Lord, who is not equaled or surpassed by anyone. Varenyam, the Supreme Worshipable, who is worshipped by the Gayatri Mantra. Srila Prabhupada's translation for this verse. Lord Brahma said, O Supreme Lord, O changeless, unlimited Supreme Truth, you are the origin of everything. Being all-pervading, you are in everyone's heart and also in the atom. You have no material qualities. Indeed, you are inconceivable. The mind cannot catch you by speculation, and words fail to describe you. You are the supreme master of everyone, and therefore you are worshipable for everyone. We offer our respectful obeisances unto you. Srila Prabhupada's purport. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is not anything of material creation. Everything material must change from one form to another. For example, from earth to earthen pot, and from earthen pot to earth again. All our creations are temporary, impermanent. Now, today's purport is a little lengthy, and I have to save time to do a little slideshow at the end. Normally, I like to read the entire purport and then go back and make comments, but in interest of saving time, I'm just going to say a few words as we go along. So this, obviously, is a very, very important point to understand. If we don't see the distinction between matter and spirit, between sat and asat, temporary, permanent, then we don't have the impetus to get out of this temporary, miserable situation that we're in. So Prabhupada defines intelligence in one place as intelligence means the ability to discriminate between matter and spirit and to know the source of both. So if we pride ourselves on being a little intelligent, then we should see how it fits in with that definition. Continuing Prabhupada's purport. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, however, is eternal, and similarly the living entities who are parts of him are also eternal. Mamayvangso jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is sanatana, eternal, and the individual living entities are also eternal. Now, this again is a point that you have to appreciate if you want to make advancement in real spiritual understanding. Yesterday I had a bit of a conversation with my mother's personal trainer. My mother's a dyed-in-the-wool Christian. She's across the street right now, came to visit for the weekend. And her trainer also similarly dyed-in-the-wool Christian. He goes to the same church, and he's a real heavy preacher of Christianity. And he claims that he's checked out all other religions, you know, Hinduism, Buddhism, this-ism, that-ism, and they're all evil except for Christianity. So we had a little discussion yesterday about this point. So you believe that after death, you will somehow gain eternal life. Yes. But that means you're eternal all the time. Nothing can be eternal if it wasn't eternal in the first place. That's the point that's being made here. Our material manifestations are created. They come into being at some point in time. They last for some point in time, and then they are dissolved. But the soul and the supreme soul are not like that. Eternal means always existing in the past, existing now, and will always exist in the future. But they don't have a clear conception of that. They think that they were created at some point in time by the combination of mother and father, and then they will become eternal in the future. That doesn't make sense. If you're eternal, you're eternal. You're always existing. There's no beginning of eternality. That's the whole point. Eternal means always existed in the past. Natueva ham jatana sam natong ne means anadipa. Krishna points out the first thing to Arjuna. Never was there a time when I did not exist, nor you, nor any of the kings on the battlefield. Nor in the future will any of us cease to be. So this should be immediately understood, and we should be immediately encouraged if we really understand this point. That in spite of my temporary material situation, good or bad, I have always existed, I'm going to exist in the future. So there's nothing for me to be upset about or worried about in terms of my existence. So they still can't understand that. So very lower stage of theological understanding. The difference is that Krishna or God is the supreme eternal, whereas the individual souls are minute, fragmental eternals. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita, Chetagyam Chapi Mam Vidhi Sarva Chetra Shubharata. Although the Lord is a living being and the individual souls are also living beings, the Supreme Lord, unlike the individual souls, is Vibhu, all-pervading, and Ananta, unlimited. So this is another point to understand, because some people think, okay, I get it. I am suffering in the material world, but I can become liberated and become God, or all of us together will be God. No, this is another misunderstanding. God is always God. God is always Vibhu, all-pervading, and Ananta, unlimited. We are not now unlimited, and we will not become unlimited. We are minute, fragmental parts, existing at a particular point in space-time. But Krishna is existing everywhere simultaneously. The living entities are innumerable, but the Lord is one. No one is greater than him, and no one is equal to him. Thus the Lord is the supreme, worshipable object, as understood from the Vedic mantras. Natachamas chadya bikash chadrishyate. The Lord is supreme because no one can evaluate him by mental speculation or jugglery of words. The Lord can travel more quickly than the mind. In the Shruti mantras of Ishopanishad, it is said, Anayade kamanaso javiyo, naina deva apnuvan purvamarshat. Tadhavatonyan atyeti tishtat, tasminapo matarishwa dadhati. Translation, although fixed in his abode, the personality of God, it is swifter than the mind and can overcome all others running. The powerful demigods cannot approach him, although in one place he controls those who supply the air and rain. He surpasses all in excellence. So we have a tendency to worship generally anyone who's greater than us, wealthier than us, can run faster than us, can jump higher than us, whatever. We worship someone who's at a higher level of existence, apparently. So the person that's on the highest level of existence is Krishna, the Supreme Personality of God, and therefore he's the most worthy of worship. And when we all agree to worship him, then everything becomes harmonious. Otherwise, we have the kind of situation where we have now, where some people are worshiping this leader and some are worshiping another leader. And the two leaders don't see eye to eye, and therefore both camps fight while the leaders stay home and eat croissants and drink coffee. And that's what's going on right now, for instance, in Ukraine. Mr. Putin, he's not on the front line facing the bullets of the opponents. He stays in his, you know, Moscow apartment or wherever he's living currently. He's got so many places he can live. And he's eating croissants and drinking tea. And meanwhile, because of his strong rhetoric, Mother Russia overall, same thing that Hitler was saying, you know, Germany über alles, he's saying Russia overall, Russia must be strong. And therefore the common people, they, yeah, Russia must be strong. And they run out and fight and kill each other. He stays home eating croissants and drinking tea. Similarly, Mr. Obama or all the other leaders, they stay home eating nice, you know, donuts or whatever they have for breakfast, and the foolish leaders go out and fight and kill each other. So we're not foolish enough to worship such leaders. At least in the Vedic culture, the leader would be the one leading the fight. If there was some quarrel amongst camps, the leaders would be the one on the field fighting, and the citizens would stay home and eat their chapatis or whatever, and then when the fight is over, whoever was victorious would claim the whole kingdom. Not that the common citizens are tearing. What's going to be left? This is what happens so many times around the world. They fight each other, they tear down the infrastructure, right? They're destroying so many buildings, and then when it's finally over, oh, we need money to rebuild. Why did you tear it down in the first place, idiots? You know, this is going on. Foolish people. So, because the Lord is situated in everyone's heart, and the individual living entity is not, never should the individual living entity be equated with the Supreme Lord. In Bhagavad Gita 15:15, the Lord says, Sarvasya chaham hridi sannivishta. I am situated in everyone's heart. This does not mean, however, that everyone is equal to the Lord. In the Shruti Mantras, it is also said, Hridyayam Atma Pratishtata. In the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, it is said, Satyam Parang Dimahi. The Vedic Mantras say, Satyam Gyanam Anantam and Nishkalam Nishkriyam Shantam Niravajam. God is supreme. Although naturally he does not do anything, he is doing everything. Another important point for us to remember, Krishna is doing everything. So don't be so eager to pat yourself on the back when you do something so-called wonderful. Immediately pass on the praise to your spiritual master and the praise goes back to Krishna because Krishna is actually doing everything. Krishna says, I am the ability in man. I am the overseer and the permitter of all activities from 13th chapter. So whatever is going on, it's Krishna's energy interacting with Krishna's energy. So if we learn to see everything in terms of Krishna's energies, then we don't become falsely proud. As the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita, Mayatitamidang sarvam jagadavyakta murtina matstani sarvabhutani nachaham teshavashitaha. By me, in my unmanifested form, this entire universe is pervaded. All beings are in me, but I am not in them. And then 9:4, Mayadakshena prakriti suyate sacharacharam hetunane nakonteya jagadviparivartate. This material world working under my direction, O son of Kunti, is producing all moving and unmoving beings. By its rule, this manifestation is created and annihilated again and again. That's 9:10. Thus, although the Lord is silent in his abode, he is doing everything through his different energies. Parasya shaktir bhavadai bhashuryate. All the Vedic mantras or Shruti mantras are included in this verse spoken by Lord Brahma. For Brahma and his followers, the Brahma Sampradaya, understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead through the Parampara system. We have to gain understanding through the words of our predecessors. Very important point. Sometimes some people say that when Srila Prabhupada's speaking scripture, then we accept it as absolute. But when he writes his purports or he gives some informal talk, then that's his opinion and I may or may not accept it. Nonsense. Prabhupada himself said that the words of the acharyas, like Narottam Das Thakur, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, whatever songs they write, they're to be accepted just as Vedic evidence, just as Vedic scriptures. So similarly, whatever Prabhupada said should be accepted. Otherwise, we don't accept Prabhupada's statement. He said, I did not write these books. Krishna wrote them. So if we think that we can discard Prabhupada's purports because that those are his opinion, then that's a foolish interpretation. And you're going to stultify your spiritual advancement if you accept such a position. And even if you say that it's Prabhupada's opinion, on the other hand, if you say you accept Prabhupada as a pure devotee, then if I have to choose between the opinion of a pure devotee and the opinion of someone who may or may not be a pure devotee, whose opinion should I take? I know how to. I'm going to answer that question. So even if somebody says Prabhupada's purpose or his opinion, I'm taking Prabhupada's opinion, not yours. Understand? Somebody thinks that they're so exalted that their opinion should be equated with Prabhupada's opinion. So even if you say it's opinion, I'm taking Prabhupada's opinion, not your opinion, okay? So, but Prabhupada is making the point right here. We have to gain understanding through the words of our predecessors. He doesn't just say through the Shruti or through the Smriti. He says through the words of our predecessors. So Prabhupada is our predecessor acharya in this sampradaya. We accept whatever words Prabhupada says, not that we play Chinese menu. I take this one I like and I don't take that because I don't like it. Who are you? Who are you? If, again, we say that Prabhupada is a pure devotee of Krishna, why should I even consider your opinion when it's next to Prabhupada's opinion, when it's supposed to Prabhupada's opinion? Are you greater than Prabhupada? So, there are 12 Mahajans or authorities, of whom Brahma is one. Swayambhur, Narada, Shambhu, Kumara, Kapilomanu, Prahlado, Janako, Bhishmo, Balir, Vyasakir, Vayam. We belong to the cyclic succession of Brahma, and therefore we are known as the Brahma Sampradaya. As the demigods follow Lord Brahma, to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we also have to follow the authorities of the Parampara system to understand the Lord. So again, very clear. If we want to understand Krishna, if we want to reawaken our love for Krishna, qualify ourselves to go back to Godhead, we have to follow the teachings of the predecessor acharyas. As I've stated many times, that doesn't mean we have to run around and try to find all these esoteric books. And no, all of that knowledge that's coming down in Sampradaya has been distilled and presented by Srila Prabhupada in his books. We simply have to try to appreciate, understand, and live by Srila Prabhupada's books. Bhagavad Gita as it is, Srimad Bhagavatam as it is, Chaitanya Charitamrita as it is. Just because he didn't put as it is in all the other books doesn't mean that, it's not implied. They're all as it is. Otherwise, again, there are so many scholarly interpretations of Chaitanya Charitamrita and Srimad Bhagavatam. But nobody becomes devotees by reading those scholarly interpretations. Only when we hear from the pure devotee of the Lord, in whatever language, just like we have our Satyanarayan Prabhu here now, he's flogging me to produce books in Japanese and Korean and so many languages. As long as the translators stay true to Prabhupada's words, the potency is there. And we see, in all every country of the world, people want to become devotees of Krishna when they read Prabhupada's books. Otherwise, so many books were there before. So many Bhagavad Gitas were there before Bhagavad Gita as it is. So many so-called Vedanta societies were in existence, but nobody was becoming a devotee of Krishna. Nobody wanted to surrender to Krishna. As Prahlada Nandamari says, and you'll see from my little presentation here in a few minutes, I was traveling with him for a whole month in Europe. He said, when Krishna says, Sarvanama Puritaja, Mame Kam Sharanam Puritaja, abandon all varieties of religion. Yes, everybody will happily do that. They will happily abandon all varieties of religion. Because they say religions are the cause of the problems in the world. Religions are not required nowadays. That they will do. But Mame Kam Sharanam Puritaja, the next line, that they don't want. They don't want to surrender to Krishna. You see? So they chop up the scriptures like that. Yes, I will happily abandon all varieties of religion. But surrender to Krishna? Forget that. Only those who hear from a pure devotee of the Lord will develop the desire to surrender to the Lord, develop the desire to reawaken their love for the Lord and to go back to the Lord's kingdom. Again, in my little discussion with this personal trainer of my mother yesterday, well, do you believe in heaven? So I tried to explain to him the difference between the material realm and the spiritual realm, the kingdom of Maya and the kingdom of Krishna. But they can't understand because, again, you're trying to keep themselves in the center. I will go to heaven and I will enjoy. You see? Still remain the enjoyer, the central figure. I'm not enjoying now. A lot of problems in this world for sure. But if I say I believe in Jesus, doesn't matter what I do. He made that very clear. Doesn't matter what I do. It's not by works. It's only by the grace of Jesus. If I surrender to Jesus and I believe in Jesus, then I will go to heaven and I will enjoy. It's all about me. So we're not so foolish again. We know that everything that you do produces some reaction, good or bad, that you have to enjoy or suffer in the future. And that is also there in other religious scriptures. It's there in the Bible. As you sow, so shall you reap. That's the law of karma in a nutshell. As you sow, so shall you reap. In other words, whatever you do in this world is going to produce some reaction, positive or negative, and you're going to have to enjoy or suffer in the future. It's not that whatever you do is okay as long as you believe. No, that's not what the Vedic scriptures are teaching us. That's not what Srila Prabhupada is presenting. We're not into Krishna, just believing in Krishna and everything is all right. No, we have to act properly. Believing in Krishna means following Krishna's instruction as it comes down in parampara. Not that we're so qualified that we can interpret Krishna directly. No. We have to plug into the parampara, as Prabhupada is stressing in today's purport. You have to plug into the parampara, accept the words of the predecessor acharya, and then the path becomes open, the path becomes clear. Back to home, back to God. Okay, I wanted to leave a few minutes to just go over this little presentation. But we can have open the floor for a question or two before we do that. Any discussion? Yes, we will. You're very intelligent. So you know, whichever side of the coin you fall on, you cannot have an infinite regression of cause and effect. There has to be an original source somewhere. Right? Just like you have a father, he had a father, he had a father. Trace it all the way back. There has to be an original father. So that original father is eternally existing. If you stay on the material side of the coin and you say that everything is materially caused, still you can't have an infinite regression of material causes and effect. There has to be an original material cause. Right? So on our side of the coin, we say, yes, there is an original cause, a supreme person. And that was another part of my discussion with this gentleman yesterday. He was saying, yes, we believe in God and we love God. How can you love God if you don't know God? They don't even understand that God is a person. As soon as you say that, I said, but you speak all the time about the Father. Father means person. You don't have an amorphous cloud of energy that becomes your father. Father means a person. So even that they can't understand. So as Krishna himself asserts that he is the supreme father, Pitaham Asya Jagata. He's the father of the entire material creation. Matadata Pitamaha. And he is eternally existing, and his offspring, the living entities, are also eternally existing. Eternal means, again, no beginning and no end. But because we're not on the platform of the Supreme Soul, we can become covered by another energy of the Supreme Soul. We are Tatastha Shakti, marginal energy. We have to take shelter either of the internal potency, the spiritual potency, or the external potency, the material potency. We cannot stay without taking shelter. That's the nature of the Tatastha or marginal energy. So when we're sheltered by the internal potency, then we enjoy Satchidananda, our eternal life of blissful knowledge. When we come under the sway of the external energy, then we think ourselves to be temporary because we identify ourselves with these bodies. It's very, very simple to understand. And the body has a beginning and an end, and therefore become fearful that I'm going to also have an end when the body ends. But there's no meaning to spirituality, to religious expression, if nothing survives the death experience. Right? If death is the final, the end of everything, then there's no need of discussing spirituality, religion, all that. It's useless, meaningless. So you have to start out with that premise, that something survives the death experience. Meaning you and I survive the death experience. We go on existing beyond this body. So that's been going on forever. It's not that it's just starting now, that I've taken birth in this body and I will survive this particular body and go to heaven or wherever. No. You've been surviving since time immemorial. Eternally, you're existing. It's just that your situation may change. Either you stay in the spiritual realm, you never come here to the material world, or you come here and you get covered over and you keep going from one body to another, until again you qualify yourself to go back to the eternal realm. But you yourself continue to exist eternally. Okay. So, all right, one more point, Vijay. Yes, you know, Prabhupada gave the example like of Lord Varaha, that there's one opinion that there are two different Varaha appearances, and there's another opinion that the same one came and then he stayed under the water for a long, long time, and then he came out again, and apparently another manifestation. That's a technical detail that doesn't change the presentation that the acharyas make, that you're not this body, you're a spirit soul, you're part and parcel of Krishna, qualify yourself to go back to the kingdom of God. It doesn't affect that. It doesn't affect that at all. The acharyas don't have any difference of opinion on those kinds of details, only on this kind of detail. Did Lord Varaha appear twice or only once and stayed in the water for a long time and came out again? That's a technical. Lord Varaha is eternally existing. That we should understand. He's also not a temporary manifestation. It's not that he came into being when he came out of Brahma's nose. Prior to that, he was not existing. No. Lord Varaha is an eternal form of the Lord. All these forms of the Lord are eternal. So whether he came out twice in this material manifestation or only one time, it's a detail that doesn't change the presentation of the acharyas, which is to learn about Krishna, revive your love for Krishna, go back to Godhead. That doesn't change. All right. Can you dim the lights? Thank you. So from April 1st to 28th, I was traveling with His Holiness Vladananda Maharaj in Slovenia and Croatia. So I'm just going to give you a quick presentation of that. I know if I'd asked you where is Slovenia, many of you probably didn't know. But it is one of the six countries that made up the former country of Yugoslavia. So we first started out in Slovenia. Ljubljana here is the capital. The whole country of Slovenia only has 2 million people. And based on the number of books that have been distributed there, they figured that at least two-thirds of the country have books. So, very, very wonderful efforts on the part of the devotees. This is the temple in Ljubljana. It's undergoing some renovation. They have a plan that requires about 400,000 euros, which is about a little more than $500,000. They're trying to renovate the place. Now, I kidded them. This building was formerly something else. Obviously, it wasn't the Hare Krishna temple. And the sculpture has been there. This is a completely naked guy coming out of a block of stone. And apparently when they renovate, they have to keep it. It's part of the cultural presentation of Ljubljana, Slovenia. So I kidded him. I said, maybe you should paint him blue and call him Shukadev Goswami, because otherwise, why would we have a naked man in front of our temple? So the deities there are Panchatattva, Shri Panchatattva Kija. Huh? No, it's all right. Yeah. So this is Sri Panchatattva, the presiding deities there. Then they have the small Gaudiya deities, Utsav. They also have a very nice restaurant. They used to call it Govindas, but there was some problem about using the name legally, so now they call it Radha Govindas. It's right on the corner, where the temple is down this way, down the street, and then the restaurant is right on the corner. And they have nice Radha Krishna deities inside, and they also have a smart box in the restaurant. See, they have all the books there, and a little explanation of what the books are all about, and then there's a slot where you can make a donation. So anybody can come to the restaurant, they can pick up a book, look at it, and if they like it, they just make a donation in the box. So these smart boxes are a very easy and efficient way to distribute Prabhupada's books. And so here's Maharaj. This is Anantadas. He's the temple president. And this is Mrigendra. He's the manager of the restaurant. Very, very nice place. Here's Maharaj enjoying prasadam. Then we did Harinam in downtown Ljubljana. Maharaj was leading at this point. This is his disciple. His name is Dhanavir. And just very nice. They have, in that part of the city, it's all walking streets, so you can roam just about anywhere and chant. Let's go back. Yeah, so here's an idea. This is the town square, the main square in the downtown area. And a lot of people come out. This was a Saturday morning around 10, 10:30. A lot of people come out. You can see all crowds around. Beautiful place. And then here's yours truly taking a turn leading. And this is the day we were leaving to go move on from Ljubljana. Very nice devotees. They all came out to bid us farewell. Here's Ljubljana is the main city, and that's where the big temple is. But they have a lot of Namhata programs. Like here, I did a program in a city called Kran. And the devotees there, they don't have a temple, but they rent a gym. This is a gymnasium. You can see the equipment in the back there. And they rent it and have public programs, and quite a few people come in. Who's this on the screen here? Rukmini, yes. So
While the program is going on, they keep a slideshow going of deities around the world, and I just happened to take the picture when Rukmini was on the screen. Rukmini Devi Ki Jai. And this is display of the Slovenian books. You can see they have most of the books, Bhagavatam and Gita and everything is there. Very nice presentation. People can come and appreciate. It was the Ekadashi that day, and they make very nice Ekadashi prasadam. Where is Krishna Gaurang? Is he here? It was an eggplant sabji with potatoes and curd, a nice nectar drink, a Ekadashi cookie and a yogurt preparation, sweet yogurt. And then they make this Ekadashi chidwa. It's like, you know, very, very fine potatoes with raisins and nuts. Really nice. Then we did a public program in a city called Maribor. It's actually the home of this devotee here. His name is Damodar Krishna. Very interesting. He is from Slovenia originally, but when he was young, his family lived in Switzerland. So when he was 14 years old, he was walking down the street, and lo and behold, he met a Hare Krishna devotee, Hari Namananda. So as he tells the story, Hari Namananda took all his money and gave gave him a stack of books. He didn't appreciate immediately, but later on he read them and he became a devotee. And he used to be the European body weightlifting champion. So he's a very big guy. But he said, you know, in his day, when he was champion, he was lifting about 250 kgs, which is about 500 and something pounds, five like that. So nowadays they're lifting almost 1,000 pounds because they all take steroids. So then we went to another city in Slovenia called Lendava. Interesting place. They have a house, this house here. One of the devotees actually purchased. But nobody lives there, only the deities. All the devotees live elsewhere. And it's closer to the Croatian border, so a lot of Croatian devotees come over for programs. But the house is basically empty, just the deities, and one pujari comes in and takes care of them most days until they have programs, then everybody comes. So this is the deities, Gorni Thai deities, and they have some small Jagannath deities. Very beautiful. And this was the Sunday Peace program. It's a small temple, but nice turnout. So then after that, we moved to Croatia, which is a little more than twice the population of Slovenia. And we were in the Zagreb temple for the most part. That's the capital city. This is the temple in Zagreb. It's in a suburb of the city, up on a hill. And you see they have a nice view of the city here. Everything there is very green. It gets a lot of rain. We could definitely use some of that rain here in Southern California, but everything stays very green and pretty there. And their deities are also Gorni Thai, and they have some Shilas. Very nice worship. Small Gorni Thai and the Shilas. Then some of you may remember this devotee. His name is Kukudmi. He used to be here in the community with his wife, Anita, and son, Nimai. And Nimai was such a character. Even when he was 4 years old, he knew everybody's name in the community here, and he knew something about everybody. You could ask him, you know, what is Savas like? And he would tell you something about Savas. So we called him the mayor of New Dwarka when he was here, little boy. And most of you know this devotee, Navina Narada. He happened to drop in while we were in Zagreb. So here's Nimai now. He went back to Croatia when he was about 5 years old. Now he's 14. He's taller than his father. And I asked him, did you remember your days there? And he said, vaguely. He said, I only remember two people clearly, you and Ratnabhushan. And so some of you may also remember Bhakta Marko and Karangi. They were also both from Croatia. They came here. They were doing books for a while. They actually got married in this temple room. And then they went back, and now they have four kids. And this is the whole family here. That's Marko, Karangi, and the kids. And Marko is always saying how he misses New Dwarka. He wished he could come back here. He said everywhere else he goes, so disorganized. New Dwarka is so well organized, and he wants to come back. And actually, he contacted me on Facebook a few days ago. They're planning on coming for a visit in June. So we'll see what happens. Then there's a city about an hour's drive from Zagreb called Karlovac. And just outside of that city, there's a farm. It's actually owned by a devotee. These deities used to be in a temple, or you could say a preaching center in Karlovac, but some or other, they lost that place, and now they moved the deities to this devotee's farm. So we did a program there. His Holiness Chandramouli Swami was there. Very nice program we did there. And then Maharaj and I split up. He went to Rijeka, and I went to a place called Lika, Saborsko area. So there are some nice devotees there, Srivan and his wife Draupadi, and this is their home deities, Gornitai. This is Srivan, and this is Bhima. He has two bolts. They're getting old now. Bhima is probably like 20-something years old. He has very bad knees. But for, you know, any kind of cow or bull, they have to move. They have to go to the fields to eat. They can't just, no matter what the condition is. So he's in great pain, but he goes out every day. Bhima weighs about 2,000 pounds. And the other bull, Nandi, he weighs like 2,200 pounds. And they also have a cow, Lalita. She's 22 years old. Her last calf was 11 years ago, but she's still giving milk because she feels so loved and taken care of. And they make this cheese is made from Lalita's milk. I brought some back, and some of you have been fortunate to taste a little piece. And Draupadi just makes everything they have there. Everything they make is from their farm. By himself, he does so much work that the neighbors they say to him, "I don't think you're doing this all by yourself. And we're not looking. You bring in people to help you." But he does everything. He grows wheat and, you know, and all the vegetables and takes care of the cows. And, I mean, he does so much. Amazing person. So then we stopped at another little farm. This devotee's name is Mahaprabhu, a longtime book distributor. And he has one cow named Surabhi. And she's very young. She's only about 4 or 5 years old, but she gives so much milk. So he's constantly giving away cheese and milk and yogurt because this one cow produces so much. I guess that was it. Yeah. How was it? Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.